The following message was recorded at the No Regrets Men's Conference. More information about the conference is available at noregretsconference.org. Feel free to make copies of this message for others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Once again, thank you so much for attending, and we pray that it's going to be a blessed day for you guys. You got a great speaker for you today. Brother John Dilliard is going to be speaking, and John is husband of 36 years, two lovely daughters, two grandchilds, two boys, two girls, fantastic. And in addition to leading Topcon and Soul Purpose, John's a longstanding member here at Elmbrook. Has a lot of information, a lot of passion about this, so there's no regrets. It's going to be really big for you guys, so pay attention and you might learn something. There you go, John.
Yeah, thanks. Hope you're here to learn about the No Regrets Study Series. Why don't we just open a prayer? Well, Father, good morning, and Father, what a start to our day, singing and worshiping you, and what a challenge that Crawford Loritz has laid down on our hearts this morning, Father. May you just ignite in us a passion to just know you better, and a passion to do the things that you want us to do and desire us to do, Father. You didn't give us a spirit of timidity, Father. You gave us a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Father, may you just prompt us to use those gifts and talents that you have so generously given us, each and every one of us, and to use them to your glory. Father, we just ask you to bless this time this morning in your name. Amen. So, how did I arrive here? I want to just tell you how I got here. I've been here for 20 years. Just prior to coming here, I was in Boston, Massachusetts. So, if there's any question on who I root for in the Super Bowl, it's Packers first if they're in it. And then anywhere else that I've lived, since I've lived in a lot of places. I've moved seven times with the company that I'm in. I'm with a major corporation. They've moved me seven times. I've had 14 jobs with the company in 17 years, my first 17 years. But I was in Boston, and while Boston was great, wasn't sure when I moved there. Thought it was going to be a little bit stuffy, but it wasn't. Had a great area. For my job, had great neighbors, had a great church, but it soon became difficult with my boss, and he was the person before me too, but he was laying some things down that were pretty much not so much achievable, and it got so difficult that I prayed to God to get me out of here, and then I made this promise that said, if you get me out of here, I'll devote myself more to the church. And within a matter of weeks, he answered my prayer. I got a phone call that said, what do you think about Milwaukee? I said, I'll take it. And so 20 years ago, I came here, and that's where it started. So here I am 20 years later, and I guess the moral of the story is prayer is powerful, and be careful what kind of promises you make, because you might end up standing up here just like me someday. So that's the moral of the story. So, well, welcome. What is the No Regrets Study Series? Jesus didn't focus on the multitudes. He primarily focused on 12 men. 12 men that were trained to be disciples. And 12 men who were then commissioned to make disciples. And that's what Matthew 28:19 has commissioned us to do as well. Is to go and make disciples. And that's the primary objective of the No Regrets Study Series. It's to take up to 12 men at a time and make disciples of them. The study series is a collection of 8 books. It's a study focusing on the components of building true and devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Today's objective is to give you an overview of the No Regrets Study Series. Specifically, we'll discuss the background, purpose, and benefits of the study series. We'll also review the structure and mechanics of the group lesson. We'll discuss some habits of highly effective group leaders. And finally, we'll discuss some ways to get your group started. The most important part of today will be to answer your questions. We're going to really hit you with a lot of information today, but please ask those questions, because that's probably the most important thing that will happen today, is getting your questions answered that will help you when you get back to your churches. So let's back up a little. How did we arrive at the need for the No Regret Study Series? Henry Ford was once asked, what makes for a successful life? He said that you need to finish what you start, and God couldn't agree more. The Apostle Paul said to run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. And a race has a starting line and a finish line, and that's the problem. Too many men today don't get far past that starting line. You see, too many Christians may be decent at church, but not at applying God's principles and values in their daily lives. Men are pouring themselves into their jobs, their kids, their hobbies, which for some doesn't leave much for investing and growing into the men that God intended us to be. Let's face it, too many men today are more likely to look in the rearview mirror and see a long list of regrets. The regret of being a passive or absentee father, the regret of a difficult or worse, a failed marriage, the regret of going through life alone with no true friends, the regret of not going deep into the Word of God, the regret of standing on the sidelines and not being that impact player for the kingdom. The No Regret Study Series has two primary purposes. Number one is connecting, and number two is growing in Christ. First, we want men to connect with other men. Connections lead to community. This isn't just a class. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also the interest of others. And that was Paul's strategy. He connected by investing in other men. In society today, we've become very self-centered and have isolated ourselves, resulting in a lot of men not having true friends. I'm talking about the true friend, maybe six that you would need to carry your casket, or maybe that one to give that true assessment of your life, that eulogy that goes deeper than he was a great guy. That's why we want to give men the opportunity to develop real male friendships. This is accomplished in a number of ways. Leading the way is the one-on-one as well as group contact outside the regular meetings. Additionally, the guys bond, they become more transparent. They encourage one another. They provide care for one another. And last, they more effectively hold each other accountable. First, one-on-one contact as well as group contact outside the normal meetings. There's no such thing as too much contact for this type of group. This is how the group forms a community. We ask the leaders to meet one-on-one with their guys. It is also a good idea to challenge the guys to meet also with themselves. Assigning an accountability partner helps. Assigning the men to another man to call that week to discuss a topic or just catch up. Socials, service projects, retreats, all help to establish strong relationships, relationships that forge a community, relationships that likely lead to men making those lifelong friends. The series is not just a class. It is men, brothers in Christ, coming together, doing life together. They become a band of brothers. Do you have a band of brothers? Being transparent. We men are great problem solvers, especially other people's problems. The goal here is to get the guys to talk about their feelings, their fears, and their failures. To be both transparent and vulnerable. Who are you transparent with? Receiving encouragement. Most men receive little encouragement, whether at home or the workplace. By the way, when was the last time you encouraged a coworker, your wife, or your kids? Addressing life's challenges head on means men coming together and encouraging one another and building them up
Who are you being encouraged by? Caring for one another. Question: how many of you in the last few years have suffered a job loss, the loss of a close friend or relative, or had a crisis in the home? A caring small group can make sure that no one in your group will ever walk through a crisis alone. If someone in the group is going through a very difficult time, a group member should be the first person, not just to call or text, but to actually go to their home and lift them up. Who do you call for a shoulder or an ear? Accountability. Accountability is addressing the difficult questions of our lives, not someone else's, ours. We have to own our thoughts, our actions, and our deficiencies. If there's an area of my life that I'm working on, such as daily devotions or lust, I will give the group permission to inquire each week how I'm doing in that area. Accountability helps us to change and to do the things that we know that we need to do. A common theme for groups that had difficulty in growing were the ones that were passive on accountability. Accountability isn't always easy, but it is an essential component to both connect and grow. Who is holding you accountable? Well, that's how we connect. The other purpose of the study is to grow in Christ. There was a time when I thought that if I occasionally attended church and threw a buck in the plate, that all was well. Did I ever have an eye-opening experience when I learned about the spiritual disciplines? What are some of the spiritual disciplines?
Prayer.
Bible study. Study, yep.
Fasting.
Worship. Yep, absolutely. You know, I now know that I need to incorporate the disciplines of prayer, devotions, fasting, study, meditation, memorization, solitude, and service into my life so that they become regular habits. The study series is not only about men becoming better dads, husbands, or church members. We desire for all men to have a thriving personal relationship with Jesus Christ that causes them to be more like Him every day. Does your living testimony reflect Christ? Growing in Christ is honoring God with your life. Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about offering our bodies as living sacrifices and not conforming any longer to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. If you read what heaven is about, I'm pretty sure that it's not about shooting under par every day, although that does sound pretty good. It's about worshiping the true and living God. Being a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ is about worshiping Him in all aspects of our lives. Guys, listen. Every moment in our lives can be transformed into acts of worship. Are you leading a God-honoring life? The final purpose is mission. The final goal in the study is for the men to write a personal mission statement. We want the men to live with a sense of God's calling in their lives, for what He wants them to be and do. Like Jake and Elroy, you know, the Blues Brothers, we all are on a mission from God. What's your mission? Are you hitting your markers? Well, that's how we connect, grow, honor God, and be men of mission. Now let's talk about the benefits of doing a No Regret study series. As we've already discussed, it will produce disciples, men who have become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Men who are now equipped to lead godly lives in the home, the workplace, church, and world. Men who will be active players in advancing God's work and God's plan. The study series trains men to be leaders, establishing that leadership pipeline that the church so desperately needs. Another benefit is that men will build lasting relationships with other men. The study series also starts the multiplication process. We have about 50 groups that continue to meet today. One measurement of success for small groups is how long has your group been meeting. Another is how many groups have been born out of your group. That's how the multiplication process works. The series also will lead men to service. We know that Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. That is our model, and that's what we are to imitate, service. Okay, that's the purpose and benefits of this series. Now let's talk about how a No Regrets group actually works. First, it's a small men-only group. No Regrets is the third generation. Top Gun was the first. Sole Purpose was actually written for both men and women. So if you have a situation where you want to take couples through discipleship training and do it as couples, that would be a good place to be. But we found that for men, that became a little bit watered down for the men. So Steve went back and wrote the No Regrets study series, which is the best of Top Gun and Sole Purpose, and it was updated. We men tend to project ourselves without weakness in an attempt to protect our self-esteem, especially at our jobs. The reality is we all have weaknesses and we all have this baggage that we carry around. This baggage is difficult to share in a couples or mixed group. As an example, are you going to admit to a problem with masturbation in a group with your wife and several other couples? Obviously not. Additionally, a man can't hide in a small men's group. A small group allows men to confidentially and more comfortably open up and share with one another. That is why we believe the most effective opportunity for men to be challenged, to be transparent, and to grow spiritually is in a small, up to 12 men-only group. Now let's talk about the format of the weekly lessons and the various roles that are necessary for a successful group. Before you begin with the first lesson, you need to have the guy sign the covenant. The covenant is a contract or a series of commitments that a man makes to himself and the group. The men agree to total and complete confidentiality. This is critical. We know that what happens in Vegas never stays in Vegas. It is critical that what happens in this small group stay in that small group. Lack of confidentiality will kill a group. The men agree to share their lives, to love unconditionally, to pray for one another, to being held accountable, and to be prepared for each lesson. As you can see, each man is committing to be an active, growing, accountable, loving member of the group. Now you're ready for lesson one of the book, which is typically extremely emotional time, as each man will share his personal testimony. This may be the first time that a man will share his testimony or share a very private part of his life. Brokenness is a common theme here, which makes it a powerful experience, and it sets the tone for the entire study. Starting with lesson two and beyond, the format's the same each week. Opening prayer, verse recital, small group, and large group. You'll start each lesson with an opening prayer to get focused on God and His plan for your lesson that day. Next is the time for everyone's favorite, the memory verse quiz. We consider verse memorization to be essential for spiritual formation. The quiz can be creative, but it should be fun. I had a quiz master who thought it'd be fun to recite the lesson's verse backwards that day. I don't know about you, but there's only one verse in the entire Bible that I can recite backwards. You probably know it too. There you go. Next is the small group time, which is for sharing, accountability, and prayer. This is done in groups of three or four. This is the time for the men to be challenged and to seriously examine their lives. To start the accountability ball rolling, it's good to select, as a group, two or three areas of accountability. There's a list of 33 that are in the book, or you can make up your own. These are accountability questions like, did you put yourself in an awkward situation with the opposite sex this week? At any time, did you compromise your integrity this week? Are you satisfied with the amount of time that you spent with the Lord this week? Modeling accountability is critical. You know, in the beginning, the biggest challenge is with accountability is to get the men to focus on themselves. Most men are extremely quick to talk about their kids, their wives, their work, but to get them to focus on themselves, you know, is a challenge in the beginning. Stay on point for those and look for those small openings and create an opening to get the guys to open up and share their lives. The last 10 minutes of small group is spent in prayer, lifting up accountability requests and general prayer requests. Each man will pray during this time. You may even have guys that have never prayed before in a setting like that. So be a little compassionate for that. Next is large group discussion. This part is easy, as you'll simply review the study questions as a large group. You may even want to design some of your own questions. Because of time, I found it helpful to prioritize the questions. It was pretty rare that we got through every single question. So that's why I found it very helpful to prioritize, stay on track as best you can. When the large group discussion is concluded, it's time to close in prayer. Ending on time is important. Be respectful of the guy's time. We have groups that meet both in the evenings and in the mornings, and especially in the morning where you have most guys have a place to be at a certain time. So be respectful of the time.
How long is the supposed time from start to finish?
An hour and a half is. You can maybe squeeze that a little bit. I always did morning groups, so it was always difficult to get started on time. So that's why we set an hour and a half aside as the official time. But you know, guys were tough getting there at 6 a.m. It was tough getting there at 6 a.m. Right, Chuck? Yeah.
So 6 to 7:30 technically is what.
Yeah. If you're efficient, you know, you might be able to squeeze a little bit tighter. But we say an hour and a half is the proper amount of time to allocate to the study.
Ours is in the evening at 6:30 to 8.
Yep.
So is that the time frame for like all of this, like the small group time, the large group time, everything?
Oh, the entire lesson, okay. All that time, yeah. So your small group time versus recital, large group time would be within that hour and a half time frame. Okay. Yeah, thanks for asking.
My question has to do with how strongly we need to deal with getting off track. Sometimes,
yep.
A lot of times people get into discussions that go on that may not be about the lesson, and of course then that can make it so we don't finish the lesson.
Right. That's a very good question, and we're going to answer that towards the end about people that get off track. Yeah, it's a good question, Chuck. So, to operate a successful study series group, there are several roles to consider. First, in addition to the leader, you need a co-leader. We require to have two leaders leading the study series. We also are advocating that an apprentice be identified, or two, for a couple of reasons. Apprenticeship development is extremely important for establishing that leadership pipeline. You know, the other reason why you need an apprentice is if you're in a larger group, sometimes these groups grow, you know, to even 14. We're recommending 12, but sometimes they get a little bit bigger. And when you go into that small group time, if you only have two leaders, who's going to lead that other small group time? So you need to appoint somebody, you know, who you believe would be really good at that small group time right away. You know, you don't want them to be off on their own, so to speak. So that would be important. If you do have a larger group, that would be important. Some groups start out with, you know, some groups are smaller. Some groups have been meeting together for a long time, and it's 6, 7, or 8 guys, and they want to go through the study. So they're in good shape if you're a smaller group when they go to that small group time. But, keep that in mind. Timekeeper will ensure that the various segments of your meeting will start and finish on time. This guy is real important because guys can get wrapped up, and it's a short period of time, and it goes very quickly. So you need to have that timekeeper and keep guys on track. You need a memory verse quiz master. Get a guy that's, you know, good at cracking the whip but making it fun, too. That's important. If you're going to have refreshments or food, you need a food coordinator. A social coordinator will plan the activities outside the regular meetings, which quickens the bonding process. This is a ball game, a night out, potluck with the wives, anything that gets the guys together to connect. You may consider organizing a retreat. Those are a blast. Had a lot of fun on retreats. You need a communications coordinator to keep everybody informed. That usually is the leader that does that, but it may not be. But be cognizant that voicemail or even a shared email may challenge confidentiality. Some folks have especially that are in my age group and older, you know, they've got shared emails. So, you know, be very careful about that when you're sharing specific prayer requests when a guy is struggling in an area that is needs to stay confidential. Establish a prayer chain. The service project coordinator will plan the group's service projects. This will help move those of us, like me, that are selfish and stretch and build a servant heart. These also tend to quicken the community building aspect of the group. The more, the better. We also have coaches for the leaders, not to necessarily oversee the groups, but to be that link between the church and the group, to come alongside the leaders for encouragement, prayer, and to be a resource when they are challenged with the challenges that are inevitable. The study series is a lot like paint by the numbers. If you follow the proven model outlined in the lesson book, you'll be well on your way to a successful group. Additional habits of highly successful leaders are modeling. We can't emphasize enough the leaders that model what they expect of the men get the best results. Sharing life together means sharing life together. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. One-on-one contact and group contact. Again, we can't emphasize enough the importance of getting the guys together outside the class. If you don't, then chances are it'll just be a class. The only prescription is having a plan and working toward that quality time. Make sure everyone is keeping up with their lessons, including you. Procrastination is of the enemy. Once the group is well established and running smoothly, you need to start rotating the responsibility of facilitating the lessons. All the men should have an opportunity to lead. An effective leader keeps in mind the men with whom he's leading. The men's age, their upbringing, their occupations, their political persuasions, and their theological and doctrinal backgrounds. The men will bring with them their fears, their failures, sadness, anger. Many of them will have been wounded. The focus is Christ and becoming imitators of him. Being sensitive and compassionate will sometimes mean having to agree to disagree. Let's keep in mind that some biblical context is not 100% agreed upon. Focus on the areas of agreement. We believe that the most effective way to lead this type of group is for the leader to see himself more as a facilitator than a teacher. This is best achieved by facilitators that are active listeners and ask good questions. Extending questions like, "Hey Joe, what can you add to this?" Or clarifying questions like, "Mike, what do you mean by that?" Justifying questions like, "Tom, what is the biblical context behind that statement?" Redirecting or relay questions. As a leader, you're asked a question. Instead of you answering, you redirect. For example, "Jim, what do you think?" Drawing out questions. If a member is silent on a particular topic, you might draw them out. You know, like, "John, do you struggle with devotions?" Engage, clarify, challenge. Keep the discussion moving. Lastly, our effective leaders take advantage of our leader training that is offered twice a year. We also require No Regret Study Series training, which is essentially what you're reviewing today. So, common challenges that groups face. What would you do? What would you do with commitment challenges like attendance, homework, and verse memorization? What would you do?
Ego back to people. Sounds like you start out with a commitment, right?
Exactly. You go back to the covenant, and you go back to the commitment that the guys made to the group, and they made to themselves. We would ask you to do that on a one-off basis and not make a public display of that. But, you know, keep an eye on if people are keeping up and observe if they're doing their homework. How can a guy properly share if he hasn't even done any of the work? We used to hold the guys a whole lot more accountable to the extent that if you missed lessons or weren't doing your lessons, you know, eventually, you know, it used to be if you missed in a 1-year period two lessons that we would ask you to consider maybe this may not be the best place, but we're a little more compassionate now. And but you know, have that one-off conversation.
So weekly group, or is how do you establish it? 52 weeks here, and the idea is to keep it going. Not necessarily you being the leader, but you birth leaders. It's not a lifelong commitment. It's
right.
A building situation.
So, for the sake of the recording, you know, the question is it a 52-week program? There are 8 books. Each book is 8 lessons. So that's 64 weeks. It really is. And some guys do break up a lesson into, say, 2. But the way it's typically designed and the way that we usually encourage the groups to go through the program, let's say you start in the fall. That's where a lot of our groups start, is in the fall, September. Is to look at it as a two-year program. So you would go fall, spring, take a break for the summer, and then you would be looking at fall and spring again. So it takes, depending on the speed and whether you're going to continue to meet during the, if you meet during the summer and the holidays, then it's a different scenario. It's 64 weeks. So, but, you know, the goal is not, it's not a check in the box where you're just trying to say, I went through these lessons. You know, the goal is for this to be absorbed and be life-changing. So is it 52 weeks? Some groups may decide. We just had a group graduate this last year. We have a celebration every year where we get together and share stories about what happened in the various groups, because, you know, we're a little bit removed from the group, so to speak. And so it's a great night of sharing of what happens in these groups. We had a group that I want to say it took them almost 4 years to actually get through all the material. And that's fine. You know, it's fine. That's the exception. Wait, that's the exception. But I would say, depending on if you're meeting in the summer, it's a 2-year proposition. We are taking a look at the way that Top Gun was originally designed. It was basic training was a 1-year program, and discipleship training was a 1-year program. So it was a 2-year program, but it got broken up into 2 segments. We're going to be meeting here soon to talk about, you know, is that something that would encourage more guys to get involved if they knew necessarily that it wasn't exactly a 2-year commitment? Most guys stay with the 2-year commitment, but some guys may be reluctant to even participate if they knew that it was that long. So we want to talk that through and look at to see if that's something that we want to do, is to go back to that original formula of being 2 1-year segments. You know, that way a guy could go through the 1 year, and if something comes up work-wise or family-wise and there's a situation that causes him to not participate, that he could pick up year 2 with another group later on. You know, our goal is, if you look at everything that we provide here as a spiritual pathway, there are so many entry points to where people can connect. All of our life groups and all of the options that we have, the Tuesday night garage. But our desire is to have everybody at some point in time, men and women, but men, go through the No Regret Study Series. So we want them to be rooted in Christ and released to His mission. So we look at it as it's kind of like a funnel. We don't care how you... We want to push people into the funnel, and there's a lot of places to connect, but eventually we want to get them to the No Regret Studies. And for women, it's called Her Life Matters. So there's a program for women only, essentially exactly the same program that the men have, with some women-oriented areas for them. So, yeah, good question. Yeah, Josh.
Learning more of the format. So... You said earlier, you kind of do the small group and the large group kind of all together within that hour and a half. So as far as breaking up the small groups and then coming together and doing large group, that's all within that hour and a half lesson?
That would be correct. That would be correct. So, you know, once you open in prayer, once you go through the verse recital, you know, I suggest that you do that first, because as time goes on, some guys start forgetting the verse. So if you get them real fresh, when they're fresh, you know, that verse comes a lot easier. Then you go to small group time. Then you go. So you separate at that point, go to your corners, go to a different room, whatever your situation is, and then you would spend that small group time and then go to large group time, and that's all within that hour and a half context.
Sure. Is there a way, because, sometimes slots are more optimal than others, if your small groups met at different times based on just preferences and schedule and so forth, is there any vision and still be able to do separate small group times and then have a separate time per week for a large group? That's not really recommended, or you understand what I'm saying?
Not exactly.
So if your various small groups, not everybody can meet at that one exact time per week. Maybe for a couple of the small groups, maybe the early mornings were better. For a few of the small groups, late evenings are the only thing that works.
Okay.
If you do separate times for small groups and then a different time that maybe works, maybe shorter or something.
Got it.
For the large group,
so the question becomes, can you separate that small group time? Our preference would be that it happen within that hour and a half time frame. If a guy can't make the commitment to be there at that time, maybe there's a better time for him to join a different group and accommodate that. But for the sake of continuity, consistency, and everybody sharing life together at the same time, once you start breaking up that continuity, I've never even actually heard that happening that way. One of the things that some of the guys do because of technology now, they'll Skype a guy in. So a guy is traveling, it's a morning group, and he's, that time frame's open, but he's in a different city, and they'll Skype him in. So there are some workarounds. If a guy does miss a lesson, we suggest that, that somebody, the group, the leader or somebody, maybe meet with him one-off to go, kind of go through the material to keep him caught up. Especially look to see if he's actually done the material. But that sounds like an enforcer issue, but sometimes you have to be an enforcer. Yeah.
How big are the groups again? Can you just go over that?
Ideally, 12.
For the larger group. And then three to four in this? Yeah.
Yep. And 12, we're saying, three to four. So if it's 12, then you got, four into 12, you got three small groups. So again, if you have two leaders, if you're in a situation where you have 12 guys, you need to appoint somebody quickly that could be your apprentice that will take over and manage that group, because that accountability time is very, very important. It's very important. So you don't want them off talking about the Packers in that small group time. You want them to be focused and have somebody caring and managing that time. But you can start a group. 12 is ideal. But if you only have, let's say, eight guys that want to start the program, that's fine too. The smaller you get, there's a number, depending on who is in your group. If you got eight committed guys that do go through the 2-year period, that's great. If you got eight guys that sign up, but only, let's say, three drop out for whatever reason, all of a sudden, the smaller that group becomes, the more challenging it is to stay focused and on track. But it is doable. It does happen, and it's deal with what you have at that point. But if somebody said, hey, if we had a sign-up process and only had three guys sign up, we would say, guys, we need to put you in a hold pattern until we can get more guys, in your group. Yeah?
And, one of the always struggles, as you got new people coming in, let's say your church or whatever, into your circles, including them in, is this curriculum kind of designed where you're close to the people that starting, that's kind of, you just stick with that group throughout the 2 years, or is this where people can kind of join in at any time based on kind of the lessons and so forth? Is that okay, or is that how the design is?
I'll tell you what we prefer is that once the group is formed, that group stay together. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that time when you share your testimony, that literally is a time that you can't recapture. And that is a time when you really learn. That time has the times that I've gone through those things. You experience, the things that guys share and the things that brought them there are, they're painful and they're powerful, and it can't be repeated. And, you know, there's this bonding process that takes place. So that they truly become a band of brothers. So the movement is, we really discourage that movement for that reason.
Makes sense.
Yep.
So,
hi, John.
As you form a group, are you concerned that everybody, at least in their heart and mind, believes they're a Christian? I mean, can you bring in people, not in evangelism or getting started type of thing?
Right.
Is that right?
Right. So, you know, the question is, what kind of men are we attracting to this group in terms of their, maybe their, you know, where they're at spiritually? You know, how, you know, where are they at on the meter? I can tell you that because of the commitment and because of the pace and because of where we start, it's not designed to be, it's not designed for folks that are, you know, pursuing God and haven't made it, you know, haven't crossed that line of faith yet. It's not necessarily for unbelievers, and it's not necessarily for the newest of believers either. It's somebody that is, you know, somewhat along on that spiritual path, so to speak. Now, with that, I would say, I've had a group that had, we had a non-believer in the group, but he lasted, you know, he lasted the 2 years and was committed to, you know, to learning more about God and eventually cross that line of faith fairly quickly. The other thing that we find with the newer folks is it really speaks to their commitment. Are they really committed to this? You know, do they really understand the commitment that we're making, what they're getting into? Because that's what happens with the new guy or the, you know, the spiritually immature is, oh, wait a minute, I got to do verse memorization. I got 2 hours of homework a week, give or take. You know, and I'm expected to share my life and go deep with these guys. And for some guys, it sounds good, but they're not mature enough. They're not mature enough at that stage of their life. So, you know, do guys enter into the process in that stage? Yes, yes, they do. Sometimes it's because, you know, a lot of times it's a celebration, you know, you hear the hesitancy when we hear some of these stories. I didn't know what I was going to get myself into. I thought it was going to be a lame process, but I got to tell you, it's the best thing I ever did. And I'll never leave these guys. So, you know, there's this, you know, if you may have that doubt, but, when, you know, once you get past a couple of books, we really think that you've secured the guys. You know, the dropout rate, you know, it's a real thing. I think as a society, we lack commitment. And that makes it tough. Yeah.
Can you talk more about the books and the, so do guys pay that up or there's a cost, I'm assuming? Do they pay it up front? Can you give a little bit more detail on that?
Yeah. For us, you know, those are samples of the books that we have over here. And they would buy them however they would want to purchase them. You know, buy the whole set, buy one at a time. But, yes, they're for purchase. What are they, Chris? About $10, $12, $12?
Yeah.
$12,
yeah. $12? Yeah. You buy them in a bundle, and actually it's less expensive, obviously, and then you can also buy them individually.
Yeah. And then anything else that's required, you know, it's available on our website. Right.
Is that something that you recommend, trying to get that kind of just established with, you know, a bunch more men that aren't quite as committed to a two-year thing and try to get some growth and bonding in that first and then kind of establish, you know, doing this kind of curriculum per
yep.
se, or with just starting out with this, try to get a few solid core guys that are committed and then maybe from that.
Right. So the question is from Josh, as a small church, should we be more interested and focused on starting a men's ministry or maybe starting right away with No Regret Study Series? Here's what I would suggest is, we know that 20-80 rule is real. and you have a small church, but you've got a core of guys within that church that are well further along on their spiritual journey than the other 80%, let's say. They're the guys that are already committed to serving in the church and doing the things that you're asking them to do. What we found is that, or what we did, is we took those guys that are more spiritually mature and we took them through this process. And what we found is that they became, you know, so much on fire that the ministry grew out of that much more quickly. Yeah, you're deferring your men's ministry for 2 years, and you could probably do, you may even be able to do both at the same time. But I would strongly encourage you to do the No Regrets study series, because that gets those guys on board, fired up, focused for what needs to happen next. And that's when the multiplication process starts to take place. So when you take those 6, 8, 10 guys through the program, you know, in the beginning, their lives were so transformed. They were on fire. But their wives, it was unbelievable. You know, the wives probably were stronger advocates than the guys actually were, because they're telling all the wives, your husband needs to go through this program, because it was that life transforming. It was unbelievable at that time. We still have those things taking place, but it just seemed like in the beginning, you know, that fire was very strong. But excellent question. My number, name, number, and email address is on the back of your sheet there. So if you ever want to talk further, if anybody has that. Yeah.
Here at Elmbrook, how are new members recruited into these groups?
Okay, so that's how we started Top Gun. Now it's the No Regrets Study Series. There's a couple ways. In the fall, we have, you know, it's the season, so to speak. So we launch all of our programs. And so we're all in competition to get people in our various groups. But we have what we call Connect Weekend. And that proved to be very successful for us. So we had a very short church service. We went into the parking lot, and we had all of the groups represented, you know, that had programming available for, you know, for kids, for guys, for gals, for couples. You know, everybody's represented. But we represented not just Ministry to Men, but also specifically the No Regrets Study Series. We put one group together on that alone. But we do the emails. We do, you know, it's on the website. You can sign up. You sign up through the website, word of mouth. So it's all of those avenues that we take to get and form groups. But you know, we strongly advocate. You know, word of mouth is the most powerful. You know, number one. But this Connect Weekend worked really good for us too, where we had a guy that was a leader with no group yet, and he stood there, answered all the questions, and invited guys into his group. And that group started strong and continues to go strong. You know, one other thing that we suggest is, because of the commitment, you're taking people from 0 to 60 miles an hour, and sometimes that, you know, that's tough. You know, that's a tough transition. So we have probably, you consider, two programs, but you know, we have a program called Beginning the Race, and Beginning the Race is 6 weeks, and it's a ramp up, and you know, one of the primary goals is you get a little bit of homework, but really we want the bonding to take place. We want the community to start to be established in that 6 week period, and we're finding some great success, you know, starting a group and having fewer guys bail out because it was that ramp up. You know, it wasn't a, you know, all of a sudden you're doing 2 hours of homework and verse memorization and you're getting smashed here, and a guy says, I didn't think it was just going to be this much. So Beginning the Race, we just launched and are in the process of a program called Rooted and Released. And you can find more information on that on our website. But, you know, the goal there, too, is to become rooted in Christ and be released to his mission. So it's an 8-week course for our life groups. Our goal was to establish a lot more life groups, because that's one of the challenges, or one of the objectives that we now have, is to increase our life group participation. So we've got that program. And so before they get to the end of that 8-week class, the question becomes, what's next? And the what's next is going to be a lot of things that are going to be available, you know, on this spiritual journey that we make available. But again, we want the guys to be at some point focused on getting to that one focal point, which is called discipleship training or the No Regret Study Series. So we've been answering a lot of questions. We probably got about 3 minutes left. We had some any more challenges, you know, because we had phone calls and theological differences and personal. One thing I want to mention: significant personal issues and addictions that dominate group time. This isn't, you know, we want to care for people. We want to come alongside guys. But some guys have addictions that require something far more than what this group is able to provide. And, you know, it's hard not to spend a lot of time on helping a guy, but it's not a therapy group. You know, we don't function that way so much. So there are other places that are better suited for a guy like that. Anyways, I can tell you that the No Regret Study Series, Top Gun, Sole Purpose, it's the most challenging thing I've ever done. It's the most rewarding thing I've ever done. And I hope you consider doing it in your churches as well. Anything else? We'll call it a wrap.
All right.
Good luck, gentlemen. You're